Hi, my name is Carlos Cotchin, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. I am Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Paradise Landing Bar and Restaurant in Balsam Lake, Wisconsin.
Tell me that is on a body of water, for Christ's sakes.
No, it's actually a lake built of balsa wood. It's a new thing that we're really trying to create. No, it's a beautiful place in called Paradise Landing. And it's on a lake, and they don't mention how many mosquitoes are going to eat you on the way in and out right. of the restaurant, but we just leave that part aside.
So this is paradise, really, to you, isn't it, Hannes?
Well, it would be to a certain extent, but yeah, we're saying that because our topic tonight is paradise.
That's exactly right. We have a storyteller here. He's also an author, and his name is Carlos Cotchin. He is here. He brings the topic paradise.
Right. And we don't know what his definition is going to be. We were saying beforehand, what's our definition going
to
be?
Well, we've got a lot of definitions of paradise, of course. But before we talk about that, I did want to say to our listeners, the Storyworthy listeners, you know, we do have listeners, Hannes.
They are our number one definition of paradise, is the fact that we know that there are millions upon millions of thousands of people listening to our podcast.
I would not go that far, but I will say for the thousands of people that do listen to the show, I personally very much appreciate it. And here's how you guys out there can support the show.
Tell us.
Well, you can go over to storyworthypodcast.com and just click on our Amazon ad and then shop as normal. That's all
right.
You have to do.
You can go and you can buy things to do in Wisconsin in the summer, beer drinking in Wisconsin. And just remember, guys, you can also help us and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Stitcher. And if you want to donate money, that's right, cash money, you can go to storyworthypodcast.com and click on donate. And if you can't support in a monetary way, just go to iTunes and leave us a good review. That helps us out.
So look at all these things they can do for us, Hannes. It's really what you do for anybody anymore, don't you?
Right.
If you like somebody, you like their page on Facebook. If you like them, you follow them on Twitter. If you know what I mean? It's kind of redundant,
right.
But we're special.
We're doing so much for you people.
That's
look
my
at us.
Point.
We're sitting here just lathering out the bullshit. And you are not writing reviews. You're not giving us money. Come on. Come on.
Hey, listen, actually, Hannes, you know me. I really, really am appreciative to the people that do listen. You know that.
Oh, I know. No, we are. And the people who write reviews. Seriously, that's great. And if you can send us a couple of shekels, that's awesome. But yeah, really, the Amazon thing. You know you're going to go and you're going to buy a used copy of Stranger in a Strange Land because your son's got to read it for a college exam, right? So go ahead and spend $3 and that'll help us out.
All right, paradise. Let's talk about paradise. I have lived in some beautiful places, Hannes. I have lived in some very beautiful places.
Pittsburgh, Gibsonia,
Those weren't
Burbank.
The first ones to come to mind.
No.
My first one to come to mind is I lived in the South Pacific on an island.
Yes.
On an island with 67 people. And it was very beautiful. And I have some pictures, you know, from the air
yeah,
of this
see,
island.
That is the definition. Some people like paradise would be, you know, tropic
blue,
island. To
blue
me,
water.
It sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Really?
Nothing about that story. It's like I have no interest in living on a tropical island a million miles from civilization.
Okay. But when you say the word paradise, in other words, if you were to see a poster and it would be like paradise,
yes,
and then where would that be
in a travel agency?
Okay, so
where would it be for me if I could define it? It would probably be, well, actually, it'd be a really nice house in Pasadena. But I would also have a house in Malibu that I could go to.
Oh,
if I
see.
Wanted to.
So you have two paradise spots.
Well, I'm just saying Los Angeles is actually a lot closer to paradise than people think. It's not very paradisey when you're in your car on the 405 and there's like an overturned truck in front of you
right.
in flames. But when you're just, you know, sitting around going, you know what? It's 3 degrees in Wisconsin right now. I'm feeling pretty good out here
in
my backyard.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying because I play tennis with these guys that are all like very wealthy, retired doctors and economists. And they had very accomplished careers. And now they're all retired. And you know where they want to live? They want to live a half mile from the tennis court right here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, they technically would like to live under the tennis court if they could build like basement studio apartments.
No, but my point is like it's a good life. It's a good life to retire in good weather and play tennis. That's my point.
Yeah, but somewhere urban.
But let me talk about paradise again in terms of Tonga.
Yes.
Where I was in the Peace Corps. Tonga, the Kingdom of Tonga. It's so beautiful, and it is the white beaches and blue water. And they have, you know, it is so pristine and it is so untouched. There's like 170 islands in the country, but only like 60 are even inhabited. So there's all these uninhabited islands that look terrific. But, well, you, I guess, already know, huh?
I just nothing about, like I say, this is, sounds like camping gone horribly wrong. I don't even like camping in the civilization.
The island I lived on, you know, there was no electricity, no running water. There were no cars or, you know, there was no, like, paths or anything. There's no bicycles. There's no pavement. You know what I mean? But, and if you wanted a drink of water, well, you go over to the rain tank and you pour the water from the bottom of the rain tank and then you pick out the mosquito larvae.
Sure.
But there's no ice, and there's no Coca-Cola, and there's no candy bars, and there's nothing naturally...
I think you're really leaving out for me the
number
one.
There's no chocolate.
There's no television, is there?
There's no television.
Oh, fuck me.
Okay, here's another extreme.
Can I just tell you how important television is to me?
How important is television to you?
Years ago, me and my then-girlfriend were going to go up to Big Sur, right? Beautiful, beautiful Big Sur. Place called Deachin's Inn. It's like something that somebody built in like 1920. All the cabins are different. They don't have locks on them. So it's like, okay, it'll be wacky. It'll be in the woods. We get there. I'm like, I'm down with it. I'm down with it. I get there. No television. I'm like, I'm going to set fire to this whole fucking forest.
Are
you kidding me? I have to go through. And we were there for like one night. I was like, you want me to go 24 hours without television? This is, I'm addicted.
But what are you watching on TV that's so important? Like anything I would want to see on TV, I could see on demand on the computer, like any time.
Well, that's cheating. This is 20 years ago. I'm not talking about.
I see.
Yeah. If I had, you know, a Wi-Fi iPad, I think I probably would.
I see. This was your only connection to anything.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I need to, I needed to be watching Friends. Or Seinfeld or something. I don't know what the fuck I had to watch. Anyhow, go on with your next thing. That's my own problem.
The other extreme of paradise is I used to live in Colorado in the mountains in Winter Park. And that's like 9,000 feet or 9,500 feet. And it's completely beautiful and it's wonderful. But if you need underwear, well, you got to drive to Denver. You know what I mean? There are no underwear in the town. There are no jeans. There are touristy t-shirts. But like you can't shop.
They literally nobody like the town... Rite Aid or Walgreens doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to corner the underpants
market.
They had
a drugstore called the Ben Franklin, and it was behind the 7-Eleven, and they sold like Fruit of the Loom in a 3-pack. But if you wanted like lingerie or anything, you're going to Denver. There's no Victoria's Secret. There's no Gap. Yes, you're in the mountains. Yes, it's beautiful. But for Christ's sakes, if you want sushi, you're driving down a pass.
Yeah, you know what? That actually should be Denver's new slogan. If you want lingerie, you're going to Denver. Because when I think of Denver, I don't think of like fat people in thick clothing in the winter. I think of hot chicks.
You make me laugh.
Buying lingerie at Mervyn's. Wait, that's out of business.
All right, you guys. Well, we have a storyteller here tonight. His name is Carlos Kotkin. He's been on the show before. Do you know that, Hannes?
I do know. He has been on the show. He is also an author. He's toured. I saw on Facebook he was in New York. He was signing books for people.
So we know he's going to be entertaining, so maybe we should just get right to it.
Fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, stay where you are, in the car, walking around, whatever you're doing, because Carlos Kotkin is on his way here. Next week on Storyworthy, we have Lee Keckner.
When I approached my husband, I noticed his mouth pulled down and I thought he'd had a stroke.
Next week on Storyworthy. Back. We're still at the Paradise Landing. We've actually gone out on the patio now. It's evening, and we are we're looking out over the lake, and it's beautiful. It's bucolic. We've got Leinenkugels in our hand. Leinenkugels are beers, for those of you outside Wisconsin.
I'm holding one, Hannes.
Not you. People somewhere in the west of the United States are like, what's a Leinenkugel? It's like, why don't you shut up and drink your Coors Light bullshit, Westerners?
Ladies and gentlemen.
I hate Coors Light.
Hannes.
So angry about it.
Oh, you make me laugh. All right, you guys, Carlo Cochran, he's here. And you know, this guy, Hannes, he regularly performs at the Comedy Central stage show Sit and Spin. Have you been to Sit and Spin, Hannes?
I've been to Sit and Spin. I look forward to the day that I can sit and spin. I would love to perform there. It's an awesome show. It's always, I've been there two or three times, I think. Always
yeah,
quality.
Always yeah, it quality. Is always, it always is a quality show. They have a musician. I enjoy that. All right, you guys, he is also a 10-time Moth Story Slam winner. What the heck is that?
That is balls. That's what that is.
10-time Moth Pure Story Slam balls. Winner. It's a man with stories is what he is. He's also won 2 Moth Grand Slams, and that's very hard to do. His humorous memoir of romantic misadventures, Please God, Let It Be Herpes, A Heartfelt Quest for Love and Companionship, was recently published by Penguin Books. This is a very humorous book, Hannes. You can find
Penguin
him, you
Books,
guys.
That's the real thing. That's Penguin... not self-publishing. That is actual publishing.
Hannes, he doesn't have a blog.
Yeah.
He has a book.
He's not on the interweb like an asshole, like some people.
He is actually on the interweb. And you can find him at carloscotkin.com. High five, everybody.
High five.
Wherever you are, put your hands together for Carlos Cotkin.
Okay, thank you guys very much. Christine, you're going to like this story and relate to it. Honest, you can take a nap because this story about paradise is about a tropical beach paradise, Bora Bora, not Tonga, which is considered one of the most beautiful destinations on Earth, one of the most romantic. It's a honeymooner's paradise, and people go there to enjoy the you know, the turquoise waters and the pristine beaches. And, you know, they have bungalows that they can sleep over the water and drink fine wine and eat freshly caught fish, which is delicious. And I had the honor and privilege, I suppose, of going to Bora when I was 23 with my parents. I went with my parents. I was not expecting to do that, but it was their 25th wedding anniversary, and they called me and they said, we're going to go to Bora Bora to celebrate our anniversary, and we want you to come with us. And at first I said, no, I don't want to do that. And they said, no, it'll be more fun if you come with us. And they kept asking me to go, and they said, we'll pay for your ticket and we'll pay for your hotel, free trip to Bora Bora. So I thought, okay, I will go. But I was thinking, I'm going to go, I'm going to approach it as a romantic location scout is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to find all the best beaches and the most romantic dining spots. And I'm just going to scout it out for my future wife. And then I will go back someday and I will impress her. And she will think, oh my God, you know this place so well. You're such a gift to me. I love you so much. And so how I decided I would approach this trip with my parents on their anniversary. So we get on the plane and, well, first of all, the flight over there had come over for somewhere in Europe, and most of the people had already been on the airplane for several hours, and it smelled like it. It smelled like, it reminded me, it took me back to junior high, to the locker rooms in junior high, when people's armpits are just starting to reek. That's what it was like for about 7 hours. It was like being in a junior high locker room. And we finally got out. We finally made it to Bora Bora, and it was just as beautiful as I had imagined and read about. And we get to the hotel room, and it turns out that my parents were going to be my roommates, which I didn't quite expect, but that's fine. I just figured, all right, so cool. Nobody's getting action on this trip, I hope. And then we go to the beach, and it turns out that most of the women there are topless and beautiful. And it's really, really difficult to check somebody out with your mom and dad. I tried my best, but it was a challenge. And because there was the three of us, as opposed to everybody else there who was on their honeymoon and, you know, making passionate love every night, for us, it was an adventure. And I remember one of the first mornings that we were there, my dad woke me up. It reminded me of, for some reason, it reminded me of the movie Witness. Harrison Ford with the Amish, where the Amish guy wakes up Harrison Ford at 4:30 in the morning. He just shakes him violently and says, it's 4:30, time for milking. That's what happened with me, except it was my dad. And he said, it's 4:30, time for shark feeding. And we got up just as the sun is coming up, and we go to the hotel lobby, and there's a whole big, huge group of people. And we're all apparently going to go shark feeding. And so we get in this small boat and we head out to the reef that's surrounding the island of Bora Bora. And we have a couple of guides, and one of the guides has a bucket of bloody chum. It's just filled with blood and pieces of fish. And he just throws it out into the water. And then he says, okay, everybody jump in, dive in. And I thought he was kidding, but all of a sudden everybody dives in, including my mom and dad. And I'm the last one on the boat. And I'm thinking, but I, you know, peer pressure. So I jumped into the water too, and we're swimming with this chum, and I'm looking around and I don't see any sharks, which I'm happy about. But about 20 seconds later, there was more sharks than people. I don't know where they came from. They were like beamed in, and they were all around us. And the guide said he had put a red rope in the coral bed. And he said, humans stay on this side and sharks will stay on the other side, and everything will be cool. But the sharks didn't know this rule, so they were coming to our side. And when you're swimming in the water that's crystal clear and you see sharks the size of you or a little bigger swimming all around you, you don't think this is paradise. That's not the thought that comes to you. And somehow we survived that, and we got back on the boat and went back to our room. And we did more adventures. We went to a freshwater stream, and we fed sacred eels that were also about the size of me and thicker than me. And I remember going into that water barefooted, and the guide grabbed my wrist as soon as I went in. He said, don't move the toes, because otherwise they would get eaten off. And so I did not move the toes, and I still have them. We didn't always do death-defying things on this trip. We went to a very romantic restaurant called Bloody Mary's, which you have to go. Anybody that goes to Bora Bora has to eat at Bloody Mary's. And I remember the seats were palm tree stumps, and they were very uncomfortable. After about a minute, your ass was begging for mercy to please stand. And instead of the dinner, you wanted Preparation H. And I remember our waitress was very cute, and she thought I was cute, but in a way like, oh, that's so cute, you're with your parents, not like I want to take a shower with you. And as we were talking to this waitress, my mom put her finger in my ear to groom me to take the wax out. And I remember thinking, my mom is such a cock blocker. This is like the only opportunity, and the finger in the ear, and whatever. So we had a good time. I got to spend quality time with my parents, and that was fine. I got to see Bora Bora. I got to scout it, and I thought, when I come back, I'll know what to do. So my next big trip was 3 years later. I went to Australia, and I decided to go with my college roommate, Ben. And we didn't want to fly all the way to Australia for 15 million hours, so we thought, we'll stop halfway. Where's halfway? Bora Bora. So my second trip to Bora Bora was with Ben, and we did the same exact things. And we went to Bloody Mary's, and we had a very romantic dinner. And I remember telling him in our hotel, I said, you know, this is a good restaurant, but the seats are really uncomfortable. So let's take the seat cushions that are in our hotel room. So we'll use them to sit on for comfort. So we walked in with these giant cushions and put them on the thing. And our waitress came up. It was a different waitress, but she was still very cute. And I remember she saw it, and she's laughing. And I said to her, no, we're doing this for comfort. And she says, no, we, yes. You take rest from too much loving. And she gave me a wink. So that did not work out either, but we still had a good time. We left, and I thought, all right, the third time I'm coming with a beautiful woman. And I got married 6 months ago to a beautiful woman, and we went on our honeymoon. We went to Paris. Thank you.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You know what? Paris is a better place to honeymoon.
Yeah, let me just say that to me, you know, I'm sure people were listening to my cynical rant about not liking paradise. For everything you said makes me feel stronger about how much I want to go to, well, someplace like Paris, New York, any place but some backwards thing like that.
You don't think sacred eels are not romantic?
I don't. I like how you got cock-blocked twice from the cute waitresses. First was your mother putting her finger in your ear, yeah. And the second one was the waitress assuming that the other guy was putting his finger in your ass. And yeah. That's why you were so sore you couldn't sit on the...
How did you convince that guy, Ben, to go to Bora Bora?
You gotta know Ben.
No, but I mean, Australia is like a backpacker's paradise. You know,
yeah,
you
we had a great
on.
Time. Actually, I got a lot of action.
So you weren't in Bora Bora with him that long.
We were there just for a couple of days.
Okay. Yeah.
So you went to Australia. Did you do like the Oz experience?
I did. We went on a Kon-Tiki tour.
Okay, so how
was
that?
A bus full of hot single women.
And right.
That's Hookup Central. So I don't normally talk that way, but that's what it is. It's Hookup Central.
No, I backpacked through Australia for a month, and I know exactly what that is. The yeah. Oz experience is what we did. Yeah. And it's one of those hop on, hop off, and yeah. Then you meet people, especially from
all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Germany and Denmark and yeah. England, because those guys are on holiday for like a month and a half.
I made up for it. Yeah, I made up for it in Australia.
And so,
I don't want to brag.
How about Ben? But, how did Ben do in Australia?
I'll let Ben speak for himself. He's
about
not,
the women
he's
down
not
under.
Here, but
yeah,
yeah.
And so
he
on the way
still
back,
exhausted.
You thought,
he can't get out of bed. It's years ago.
You he thought, still can't
we'll,
walk.
We'll just stop in Bora Bora. That's what you thought.
Yeah, rest our feet.
What's the name of the city that you fly into in Bora Bora?
Well, you, I don't know. You fly into Tahiti, and that city is Papeete.
Yeah,
and
so I'm looking
you,
at
and
the,
then you fly
the Wikipedia page.
To Bora Bora, and there's a little village, and the name escapes me. It's got a V in it.
And there's not like a terminal or anything. There's just
Vitape?
Yes,
there it is.
Oh, no kidding. It's just like a little landing strip. In the
they have
of...
a little town. They have a couple of shops.
The permanent population of Bora Bora is 8,800 people.
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
It's more crowded than you would expect.
So here's something I know about you, Carlos Cochin. Yeah. You are an only child.
Yes, I am.
And it's just interesting to me because you don't seem like a spoiled only child who always got everything he wanted. You seem like a kid who's had a lot of really interesting experiences. Like, you have so many stories. It doesn't seem like the life of a regular only child who's spoiled.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm very spoiled.
You are.
Yeah.
You are
spoiled.
Well,
his parents did. Well, yeah, but they're spoiling and there's like...
They took me to Bora Bora.
Yeah, they took him to Bora Bora, which is spoiling, and yet... It's also spoiling him. It's like, well, we're going to, you know, if they'd given you two tickets to Bora Bora and said, you can take whoever you want, that's spoiling you.
Where
but
are
taking
your parents
you along
from?
Is
Where
just treating
from?
You nicely.
My dad's from here. He was born and raised in Los Angeles.
Right.
Oh, he's
and,
the one.
Okay. And my mother is from Mexico City.
No kidding. Okay. Yeah. And so did they always know they're only having one child?
Well, they didn't expect to have me. They were told they couldn't have children.
So you're a miracle child.
It's a miracle that
See,
we're talking right now.
This is actually changing everything. No, this does is changes things because I've heard a lot of your stories, and you have so many great stories, but all of them are with your parents in a very loving way. Like, you don't talk about dysfunction in your act, as it were.
No,
it
I like my parents.
Yeah, we don't go for that kind of shit over here at Story Worthy.
No, but hey, listen, man, a lot of stand-up comics and a lot of storytelling comes from pain and angst.
Most people I know always just tell me stories about their parents
and how they fucked them up and everything else. But you seem to come from a really healthy place. You just have these really funny stories about your folks.
Yeah, I like them. They're good people.
That's wonderful.
I want to ask you, so you did the old twisteroo at the end. You got married to a beautiful woman and you went on your honeymoon to Paris. So did you bring up to the wife, do you want to go to Bora Bora?
I did, of course, yeah.
Okay, what did she say?
She hates the sun. The sun is her enemy.
That sounds like Hannes.
And if the sun is your enemy.
She and I should really...
date? It's too late,
No,
Hannes.
It's too late. I know. It's just like...
She's off the market, Hannes.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying we could run a travel agency for pale, bitter people.
She's not bitter.
Besides Hannes, aren't you engaged still?
Yes, I am still engaged.
How long is your engagement?
It's about... Well, you ever heard of the Hundred Years War? It's kind of like...
He's on like a five-year plan is
what
he's on.
What's the holdup?
Money.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Does it cost anything to get married, Carlos? Does it cost anything?
It costs about $25
to
get the...
That's exactly what I thought.
All right. Good Lord. How much is Sherry paying you people?
She wanted me to come here. This is what this is about.
It's an intervention?
Do you guys want to know how much a divorce costs? Because I know that.
Yeah, tell us.
It's $380 to file.
Well, that's a lot cheaper than I thought.
You can get divorced for $380 if you're not fighting. Isn't that something?
Yeah, but, you know, most of the time you'd be fighting. Otherwise, you wouldn't be getting divorced.
That's what I'm talking about.
So that's
all right.
Let me
talk to Carlos Cochin, would you please? Now that you've talked about getting married 6 months ago, are kids in the... I know it's a cheesy question, but do you think about children and all that?
Yeah. I mean, it's totally possible.
Oh, that's nice.
It would not surprise me.
And your wife would be into that?
She would be into that.
She would not name a child Bora Bora, though, would she?
No.
Maybe Cora Cora.
If the sun is your enemy,
I'm sorry.
Hannes.
Stop it.
I'm trying to.
Just stop it. I hate puns more than I hate a sunny beach.
Okay, so your wife and I, you may have children.
It's entirely possible.
That'd be a beautiful thing, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
And your book, Please God, Let It Be Herpes.
Yes.
Very, very entertaining.
Thank you.
And it comes down to how many essays are in there? 12?
18.
18. And how many did you submit to the publisher?
Oh, I submitted 18 stories, but only 4 of them made it into the book.
Is that right? Tell us about that process.
I submitted 18 essays that were about all sorts of different things, not just about dating. And they liked them, but they said in order to market it more easily, they wanted the book to have a theme and to have the stories to be about something within that theme. And
that
they
makes
liked
sense.
Four of the stories were about dating. And so they said, if you could write a whole book that are along the lines of these four stories, then we'd be interested in that. So then I sent them summaries of what those new stories would be, and they gave me the green light.
How exciting.
I wrote the book.
Yeah. Now, is this all via email back and forth?
No, I got on the phone with them at a certain point. They wanted to talk to me.
Are they in New York?
Yeah.
Why are all publishers in New York?
They're not all in New York. There's publishers in other places.
It seems like everybody's is in New York.
Well, the big ones you've heard of started, I'm sure, in New York City. But
there's publishers in Chicago. Dallas is a big publishing
city.
Yeah, I see. Don't
pigeonhole. You know what's not a big publishing city? Bora Bora.
Or El Segundo.
Yeah.
Who came up with the title, Please God Let It Be Herpes?
That was from one of the stories.
One of the stories.
In the book.
Because sometimes if you think about people reading a book, you know, out in public or in line at the post office, and then it says herpes on the cover.
Yeah, it scares some people and it attracts others.
It entices others. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm very enticed.
Some people don't want to be seen with it. I can understand that.
And was it herpes?
It was herpes.
Right.
I didn't catch it. I didn't catch anything. All I got out of it was a book deal.
I see. Well, that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
But oddly enough, he does have a book growing off the end of his penis. So it's
These people.
Oh, yes. I went too far. I'm sorry.
You did.
Excuse
you absolutely
me, guys.
Look behind you. You see behind you? It's the line.
Fine.
My future daughter.
More
could
line
be
in Google over here.
You crossed it. What about your future daughter?
She could be listening.
Yeah, you don't listen.
By
you don't ever
you
have to.
By the time you have a daughter, the internet will have, electricity will have ceased in this country. We're back to coal, and none of this will exist.
You do not have to introduce your children to Hannes. I will say that. All right, let me ask you this. You have won the Moth 10 times. Do you have any tips out there for Moth performers? Now, let me back up real quick. The Moth, of course, is a storytelling venue. It's in many cities, even in Pittsburgh now, Hannes. Who knew?
Yeah, there's only like three stories in Pittsburgh.
And,
I love the Steelers. I hate the Steelers.
Yeah, I was going to say, they all involve Three Rivers Stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
But storytelling is really big right now. The Moth is in many cities, and you've done the Moth here in Los Angeles and in New York. The Moth, what I was going to say is it's really for like the everyman. The idea of the Moth is that your plumber comes forward and he has a good story, or the landlord has a good story, or your banker. Usually, though, it does come down to real performers. Is that right?
In Los Angeles, I would say. Yes.
Right. Do you have any tips for people that might try this?
Go in the second half. Mm. Perform after the intermission.
Mm. Except you have no choice.
And the scores will be significantly higher. Usually. Not always.
I have found that as well.
I was at a Grand Slam recently where the first performer.
I saw that same guy. He was really great.
He
had a story about Lambda, which is a law practice that helped overturn a lot of the discrimination against gays, right? Mm-hmm. I saw that show. He was first and he won the whole night.
So it is possible.
I was impressed. There are 10 storytellers in a Moth show. 10. So placement is important.
Right. But
you don't know who's getting
called. A story involving gay rights in Hollywood, that's kind of like you're doing two stories because you got extra points. Let's face facts.
Most of the Moths that I won, not all of them, but most of them, I went in the second half.
Right. Interesting. I always find it's like the sixth or seventh performer who can hit it out of the park.
That's
but
a good
by
spot.
The ninth or the tenth, the judges are like, oh, we already heard our best. And we're wondering if the valet is going to be there when give him our car thing. You know what I mean? They're moved on. They've moved on.
Maybe sometimes.
It can happen. Where do you like to perform better, New York or Los Angeles?
I don't have a preference. I like to perform where
people will listen.
Yeah.
Isn't that a treat?
Yeah, it's good.
Do you ever perform for your parents in the living room?
No.
Do you still?
I never did, and I don't now, but sometimes I'll run things by them over the phone, and usually my mom will say, and that's funny? Is that funny? And then I'll know I have gold. Then I'll know.
Then you'll know because it's
then
like,
I'm
yeah,
hit it
mom.
Out of the park.
It is funny.
Yeah, if she laughs, then I worry a little bit.
All right, and let me ask you this. How about another book? I mean, I know that sounds so cliche. You write one book, everybody wants to know what's next. But hey, man, what's next?
It's certainly possible. I'm working on other writing projects right now. The book opened quite a few doors.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and so I'm working on other screenplays right now and possible TV project, but we'll see.
What kind of screenplays?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Wait, romantic comedy.
Hang on.
Romantic comedy.
Here's what I'm going to pitch. Okay, we take
Please
God Let It Be Herpes.
Right.
Much like He's Not That Into You, Gary Marshall turns it into a multi-star P piece of pure unadulterated crap.
Ooh.
Where it's like, you know, Ashton Kutcher is in it for 10 minutes and Julia Roberts in it for 10 minutes and Chris Rock's in it for 10 minutes. And they, what do you think? Huh?
Are you,
huh?
You're saying, you're talking as if the Valentine's Day movies and New Year's Eve movies are not good.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking. That's what I'm thinking. Like, what about Love Actually? What about that? That
no,
was
no, no,
good.
That's different.
No, those Gary Marshall movies are good.
Sure, sure they are. No, Gary Marshall movies were once awesome. And alas.
The book got optioned. My book got optioned by the Fox Broadcasting Network. I wrote a pilot.
That is really exciting. Good for you.
Do we know what's happening there?
Yeah, they said, forget it. We changed our mind.
But still, what a treat to be optioned and to have an opportunity.
What, you know, I mean, I'm sure they bought the rights to it so that they could say no. Do they, at some point, do the rights revert back to you?
Yes, they're going to.
Okay, when does that happen? At some point. Like how long?
I got a few more months on that.
Oh, months. Okay,
that's
I thought
not
it
bad.
Might be years or
I thought it was something about the Halley's Comet.
It was optioned a year. It's been almost a year.
Right. Hey, you want to play a little Shotgun Storyworthy?
Sure, let's do that.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy,
the game show where contestants spin the Storyworthy wheel of truth and tell a true 1-minute story on the topic they land.
So everyone, say it with me.
Spin that wheel.
A 1-minute story about prom.
Sure.
One time I got called up late Friday night in June. I got a voicemail message. And the message was, hey, Carlos, it's Beth Mango. The reason I'm calling is I'd like you to take me to my prom tomorrow night. Thank you. And I was conflicted because I was 29 years old. And so I didn't, you know, but I felt bad for her because she obviously couldn't get a date. We didn't know each other very well. So I went with her. I had to wear the dad's tuxedo, which was straight out of 1978. We went to prom dinner at Coco's.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it. It was a memory to last a lifetime.
So at Coco's, do they have a salad bar?
I don't know. I had the fish and chips.
Is
Did
that
you
right?
get the pedophilia discount?
I was not, yeah. A lot of people think it's creepy. I was doing a good deed.
But if you were 29,
Sherry Sandusky said.
Were you chaperoning as well?
I was chaperoning her.
How old was she?
She was 18.
Okay, yeah, okay, so. I get it. She's legal, man. Now you don't feel defensive on
realize.
Me. Whatever.
It's fine.
It doesn't sound fine.
Like
it sounds.
What there
was
looks
no.
Like
there was
dad's
nothing.
Pants at the floor.
There was nothing inappropriate.
Did you dance?
Yeah, we danced to "You Shook It All Night." You shook. What is it? AC/DC. Yeah.
Long.
Yeah.
What
and
was
also,
the theme? What was the theme of the night?
I don't remember what the
was
theme
Stairway
was.
Stairway to Heaven?
But there was a song that they kept playing that had to do with the theme. Every like 10 minutes, they would play "You Save the Best for Last" by Vanessa Williams. Yeah. We have to go out there and slow dance to that.
Oh my gosh.
Well, what did the other male dates say to you?
Well, that's
friends?
The thing that she didn't have any.
No. Just, what I mean
other
is,
people there.
She's
was
there.
There
she has girlfriends.
There?
She had no girlfriends.
She didn't have any friends.
Yeah.
We
did
sat
you get
at
her
table.
A corsage?
I did get her a corsage.
A wrist corsage?
Yeah. It was. I went and stopped to the place and I got the thing and they were asking me, they were interrogating me, what color is her dress? What's her favorite? I said, I don't know. What's
I don't know.
The,
her dad set it up.
What's the event that you're taking her to? I said, I'd rather not say. Just give me that corsage over there.
Did it have a little football in it?
It was white flowers. That's what I remember.
And it was on her wrist. Yeah, and you it put it on her wrist. Did you get pictures out in the yard?
We got pictures of her house.
Or as the police like to call it, evidence.
There was nothing inappropriate.
Carlos, you make me laugh. Hey, listen, so you're going to be in LA for a while. You like LA?
Yeah.
Good. I just want to be sure. Because you seem like you might just go off to New York at any minute.
I don't think so.
Good.
I have no further comment. I'm staying in Los Angeles.
Where's your wife from? Is she from here?
She's from California.
Okay, cool.
Oh, that works out
well. You're definitely
do your parents like her?
They do. Yeah,
I bet. And everybody. I bet they want a grandkid, don't
and,
they?
They don't talk to us about that. And her parents don't either. I think they don't want to put pressure.
They're talking to each other.
Probably.
Like, all right, you need to put saltpeter in their
They're like,
their
we'll
water.
Take you to Bora Bora if you get pregnant.
It's totally possible. We'll see what happens.
Well, we can't thank you enough for being on the show again. This is the third time you've done Storyworthy.
Yes.
This makes me think that you have worthy stories.
You're always a repeater. You win the moth 10 times. You're on Storyworthy. You've been on Shotgun Storyworthy several times.
Prom, telling 7 prom times stories. In a row on Shotgun.
You know, by the way, it's very obvious that your next book needs to be about, you know, thank God I hope it's herpes 2, the prom years. because you have nothing. You can fill an entire book with prom stories, apparently.
All right, you guys. And you can find him at carloskotkin.com. That is convenient.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. I would like to say thank you to Jorge Reyes. He is our sound engineer. And I'd also like to thank our storyteller tonight, Carlos Kotkin. And, of course, our producer, Joe Slepsky. And on behalf of you, Hannah Spinney, my dear co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, Schleisinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.